Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the show. Today is Monday, March 9th. I still can't believe they don't put a date on CNN.com.
Weird.
On the front page. I know. I mean, this is like a news site. We need to know the date. So I have to look somewhere else.
I only know because my phone tells me.
Yeah, I know. But
for that.
Yeah. I don't really pay attention to that. But at any rate, apparently you moved your clock forward.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're here on time.
I am.
So I managed to remember that, too, because I have to stay up till 2, Sunday morning to change everything, you know, to sync everything.
Right.
Yeah. So not that I don't stay up late anyway. You know, last night I went to sleep at like 3:30. And so I didn't get much sleep last night. But, you know. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
It's part of life.
It is. I actually woke up yesterday and was extremely tired. I don't know what happened. And today, the same thing. So I think that I'm really affected by the time change.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's what it is. It's like you're getting up an hour early than you normally would.
Well, I slept till 2 yesterday.
Right. Oh, wow.
That also was partially a hangover. But then I just like kept on sleeping because I just needed it. I don't know what my body was doing, but it just
felt
needed
good, huh?
Yeah. And also today, I'm like, my face is like puffy.
Really?
Yeah. It just
From
is.
What?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm dehydrated or if it's like I need even more sleep. I went to bed at 9:30 last night.
You did?
And slept
so
until 8.
So that was like after a day of drinking or something?
No, that was Saturday that I drank.
Oh, that was Saturday. Okay.
Yesterday, I probably woke up at 2 and went to sleep at 9:30.
Wow.
Yeah. Today.
Good. So you're well rested now, right?
I don't know. My face is really puffy. And I don't know. Something's not right.
Maybe you're just imagining this.
I don't think so.
I mean, how can you feel a face is puffy?
I can feel it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I don't see it, so
Thank
you're
you.
Good.
Well, I'm going to wear sunglasses all day today and like a hat disguise.
Oh, wow. Well, we have summer here in L.A.
Yep.
It's been very hot.
It has
but
been.
Still
I like
cold
it.
At night. Yeah. You like it this hot?
I do.
Well, actually, it's not as bad as the summer is going to be, so it's not that bad. We've just had amazingly glorious days, I would say.
Beautiful days.
Just beautiful.
Yeah. It was really nice this weekend.
Yeah.
Felt like a vacation.
It did. Although I was going to go biking on the beach, and then I totally forgot about it. I slept until 12.
Wow.
And yeah. So maybe next week, you know.
There's still time.
Yeah. I did accomplish something, though. I went to see Nigel Barker
at
his
did.
Book signing. Yeah. We had Nigel Barker on, when was it?
Friday.
Okay, you're right. It was Friday, yeah, day before. And he was in New York. Now he was in L.A. on Saturday. And I went down there at Book Soup. And it's actually a pretty neat bookstore. I've never been there before.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So it's it's different. You know, you have to get used to it. If you're used to Barnes & Noble, then you go there and you realize things are not necessarily by topic or everything, but it's cool, you know.
Yeah.
So he was talking that there was a nice turnout. I'd like to hope that maybe we helped a little bit. I don't know. But there was a nice turnout there, and he spoke for I mean, I got there at 4:30. I think he'd started at 4, and he went on till like 5:30 or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't even stay. I wanted to say hi, but there were just too many people watching while he was talking. He went through his whole book pretty much. That's why it took so long. I mean, he stopped on every model and told about her, you know, since the 40s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, almost every model.
Well, that's pretty cool. Did you get one of the books?
I did not get the book because it was $40. And I thought they should have sent us one, you know. If it was 25, you know what, even $30, I would have bought it.
Yeah.
But also I thought, am I really interested in models that much? I mean, I like to look at them. But everything about, like, the modeling industry and stuff could be very interesting. But you asked me if it was going to be a desktop like a coffee table book.
Right.
And I think it is. After I saw it, yeah. And I looked on Amazon, and after I looked at it, I realized that, yeah, it is.
I mean, a $40 like a book format. Is expensive.
Yeah, yeah. So you know right away that it's, yeah, even on Amazon, it was maybe 30 or something, which is okay.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have bought it in time for him to sign it for me. So, yeah, that's one thing about books, man. They do get expensive if you like to read. Although many people will tell you go to the library, but I like new books. I like new everything, you know.
Did you have some time to update your Tinder profile?
Actually, you sat with me for a few minutes on Friday
yeah.
after the show, and you showed me how to change the profile, so I did. And a lot of action on Tinder this weekend,
really?
I got to tell you.
Yay!
But I'm telling you, it's not that, although I'd like to believe it is. I just changed the age range.
Oh, well, whatever it was. At least.
I didn't want to look at 50-year-olds plus, okay? But now that I allowed them in, I'm getting a lot of response. So I figured I better stay within my age range or I'm not getting anywhere.
And so did you set up any dates or what happened?
I get some phone numbers. So I haven't really had a chance to call. I'm like, I don't really enjoy talking on the phone, yeah. you know. But texting is not really an option, especially not with 50-year-olds. Although they seem to be okay. But yeah, it seemed to be pretty interesting people. So we'll see. I'll try it and
Great.
See. You know, at least there's some action.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting some action. And there are some pretty women there. And I started sending, I also took the advice and didn't start saying, how are you? I'm just like, usually what I do is like just pick out something funny from their profile or something.
Good.
And bring it up. You know, like this woman said, please at least have two eyebrows. So I wrote to her, you know, I said, am I qualified to win your heart? I do have two complete eyebrows. And she liked it.
There you go.
Yeah, you see. So, yeah, so you need to know, you need to learn the tactics.
Yeah, good. Okay. We're getting somewhere.
I know, but it's a brutally honest application.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's it tells you where you stand, and that's it. So that's where I'm at. But it's, I mean, I can see where it's at least a conversation starter, you know?
Right.
I don't look at it really in, seriously as a dating app, but maybe, it, you know, maybe something can come out of it.
I think it's as serious as you make it.
Yeah, huh?
So if you take it seriously and you put in the effort to find a serious relationship, then you will receive that same response.
Yeah. That's true. A lot of women are looking for relationships. They're like, I'm looking for long term.
Right. And they put that in their profile. They're very obvious about it.
Yeah. So I took your advice. I put my height. I put, I just said I'm an entrepreneur. I didn't really say what I said. But I wanted at least people to know what I do.
Yeah.
In general.
Right.
So I did do that. I don't know. What else did I write on my profile? I don't remember. Let me see. But I just wrote the basic things, I guess. But I did take your advice, you know. I mean, it probably helps. I didn't have anything written on there before.
No, you did. One quote.
Yeah, just one. It wasn't a quote, really. It was my thing. But, yeah, the planets are finally aligned, which is what I wrote when the station started. That's like 7 years ago.
Right.
So it's time to change, right?
Yes.
So, okay. You see, that's the thing, is that I'm looking on the preferences, and it never occurred to me to click on my friggin' picture to edit the profile, because I didn't look at it, you know? So,
So what does it say?
Okay, well, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but, okay. You know, kind of cliche, live, love, laugh. Athletic, okay. I mean, I'm not athletic, but I kind of look like it. So athletic at 5'8" and an entrepreneur, a romantic and a gentleman, into just about everything life has to offer. Work hard, play hard. And you, drop me a line, won't you? So how's that?
That's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, a couple of cliches, but then again, everybody has them, you know.
At least it's something.
Yeah,
we're moving in the right direction.
Okay.
More so than before.
What does yours say? Do you want to share it? Well, it's obviously.
Sure.
It's obvious. Yeah, I mean, it's public.
I'm deleting Tinder, but since we're going out with a bang, might
really?
As well.
You're deleting it? Why
yeah,
is that?
Because it gives me anxiety.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, you're, well, so you don't have to read it if you don't want. Now, my question, though, is, Why? Did you get traumatized by it or something?
No, I have a girlfriend that like said that bad things were happening and that my whole thing is that like I feel that I don't use it for the right, like I'm not accomplishing what I want out of it because I'm just collecting people basically. And then I start talking to everybody and then talking to nobody and then it's just like too much.
Right.
And then it overwhelms me because it's like it's a job to communicate with that many people.
It is. You know, I mean, I was going to say to you because, I mean, I must have had like 6 different correspondences. I can't keep up with all of them.
No, it's really hard.
And I don't even check Tinder often, you know. So then you check it back. There's like 10 messages.
Right.
And you go, yeah, I don't have time to answer all these.
Right. Exactly. So,
and you must have like hundreds.
Yeah, well, I have to like downsize.
Yeah.
But so, I don't know, just it just felt like just too much work. Granted, I mean, I want to meet somebody, so if I want to, then I should put in the work.
Yeah.
But I'm like, maybe it's just not a priority right now.
Yeah.
Because if it comes between everything else I have to do with my time, it's probably going to fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what I wrote.
But it's cool. But it's cool to have like a big selection to choose from, though, right? I mean, you get matched a lot.
Yeah.
And guys write to you a lot.
But then they also get matched a lot too. So like you start talking to somebody, then like if the conversation dies, it dies, and then you move on to the next one or like I don't know.
I know. It's easy to go through people easily,
totally.
Right?
Oh my goodness. okay, all right, I'll tell you what it says. So it says Jennifer 30, and I have my pictures, and it says, "Hi, I'm a normal person seeking another normal person that doesn't take themselves too seriously, has a job and ambition, sense of humor, positivity, and is looking for something real. Please don't swipe right unless you intend on talking to me, and don't be a weirdo." Then it says, "I'm in WeHo, originally from Miami, 5'4", work in entertainment, I'm a Capricorn, a yogi, love wine, binge watching, brunch, museums, live music, my family and friends, traveling, and trying new restaurants." And then I put my Instagram name.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, listing like your hobbies and stuff, is that like too cliche and stuff? I mean,
no.
I don't know if people look at it, but...
I mean...
Okay. But they get kind of
it.
A person that you are, right?
Right.
Like the things that you like and stuff.
Exactly. So, like, if you don't like any of those things,
yeah,
please don't write to
exactly.
me.
Like, you can tell if someone's an outdoors kind of person and stuff, and if you're not, you shouldn't connect with them.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll have quite a conflict there, mm-hmm. I suppose. So, yeah, you know, I mean, so, yeah, it's cool, you know, I don't know. I need to adjust myself to all this stuff. But, here we go. I think our guest is calling.
Oh, great.
We forgot to introduce her, but we'll introduce her now.
Yes.
So, actually, she connected with you, right?
Yes.
Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Robin?
Hi, this is Robin. How are you guys?
Hi, Robin.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Robin. We have Robin Marvel on the line, and you contacted Jen, which is kind of unusual. Usually people come to me, so when Jen said, "We have a guest," I said, "Great," you know? So, and you seem pretty interesting. So you do interesting stuff, and we looked you up and everything. And so let's talk a little bit about you. You have a website, robinmarvel.com, right? So that's,
right, yep.
That's your name. An amazing name. Were you born with that name?
I wasn't. I was married into it, but I'm quite fond of it, too.
It's like a superhero name.
Yeah.
It is, totally.
Yeah, but it's not a made-up name, so okay.
Yep. So that's real.
Yeah, at least you got it from someone, so that's pretty cool. I wouldn't mind. You know what? If I had to get myself a stage name, I'd call myself Sam Marvel. I like that.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Robin, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling you from Big Rapids, Michigan, which is a little town kind of in the center of the state of Michigan.
Oh, wow. Where is it near? What big city is it near?
It's about an hour from Grand Rapids.
Oh,
Grand Rapids, I guess, would be pretty big, and a lot of people know that place.
Yeah. So, wow, how do you end up in such a small place? Is this where you grew up?
Actually, I grew up in Sacramento, California.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, we moved here when I was in seventh grade, and then my husband's lived here his entire life. So that's kind of where we planted our roots, and... I just love it. I love where we live. It's an amazing place.
Very cool. So you have the whole family there?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Now I understand why you live there. And but some people in the big city can't imagine living in a small town. But I bet you it's pretty cool. I always lived in big cities, so I don't really
know.
What, yeah, living in a small town.
But I'm sure it's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it because we live on a river. We bought a house on a river. And it's just like kind of like at a campsite all the time during the summer. And it's just a really great place to raise the kids and write and do the things that I do. So I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Wow. A house on the water. Okay. Now I'm reconsidering.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, Robin, you're an author and a speaker, and also I gather the motivator and coach and everything. So tell us a little bit about that. How did you get into this?
Well, you know, it all started, I grew up with a really troubled past. My childhood was full of domestic abuse and a lot of homelessness and a lot of drug abuse and things like that. And when I was a teenager, I was looking for attention and I started partying. I started drinking and just, you know, living that kind of lifestyle. And I ended up pregnant at 16 with my first daughter. And when I found out I was having her, I was like, we're not going to be a statistic. I'm going to bust my butt and I'm going to make things happen because I don't want her to just be another, you know, number. And so I went back to high school and I graduated and I did some college and I had a lot of odd jobs here and there. And then, you know, I started homeschooling. I have five daughters.
Wow.
And I started homeschooling them, and I was looking for something that was about building a foundation of self-esteem and self-respect, because that's something that's not generally taught in the public schools, and so many kids are lacking, including myself at a young age I was. So I wanted to be able to give something back, and so I couldn't find any books that were really hands-on like that. So I remember the day I looked at my girls, and I said, you know what? I can't find it. I'm going to write it.
Oh,
and they were like, oh, yeah, you should. And so I did. And I contacted a publisher and said, this is my idea. And he said, oh, great. Can you get it to me in like 7 days? And I was like, of course I can. And so I put that together and it just grew into the next book and the next book. And then my latest book, Life Check, 7 Steps to Balance Your Life, is really about taking action. I'm one of those people who I don't want to sit down and read like a 400-page book and have someone tell me what to do. I want somebody to actually give me ideas that they use, you know, being authentic and real. And so that's the way I write, and that's what I do in my workshops and my speaking, and that's really important to me.
Very cool. So, I mean, that's pretty courageous, you know, to go back to school after you have a girl at 17 or, a child. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing that you went back to school and everything. How did you manage to do all that? And then five kids, that's a lot. You know, I mean,
yeah, my husband can only make girls from our very first child. My husband is actually the father of our first daughter. He was a little bit older than me when we had her. But, you know, it was all about being a good example and being able to give her things that I never had. Like, I don't, like, hate my parents or angry about my childhood, but it's not something that I wanted to repeat. And I figured that the only way I could give her that was to go back, get an education, and do something with my life meaningful. And so it was really, that was my motivation. That was my whole drive. And the five girls are amazing. I mean, they're like my best friends. I homeschool them. I take them everywhere I go. And it's just, it's a really great system that we have.
Wow. So, I mean, homeschooling is you know, it's not that common. Why did you think that this is the best solution for your kids? I mean, because, you know, I sometimes wonder if it doesn't hurt their socializing skills.
Well, you know, it really doesn't with my girls, because I take them everywhere and I keep them really active in the community. I do a lot of, you know, charity work and things like that. That's really important to me with the homeless shelters and the low income in our area. I do a huge food drive every year and things like that. So I keep them really active in that part of life too. Plus with the internet these days, I mean, my daughter's best friend lives in London. And she talks to her constantly every single day. And so I don't see them lacking any social skills at all.
Mm.
And the reason I went with homeschooling is because I'm selfish with my time with them. I really like them. I really enjoy them around. I want to be able to teach them so much more than just a public education can give them, as far as, for me, with my experience with public school. I'm not saying all public schools are, or I'm not bashing them or anything negative like that. I'm just saying for my personal experience, I wanted to give them more of nurturing the things that they like and really focusing on their interests. You know, if they like my one daughter wants to be a meteorologist right now, so we just went to the weather station here in town and they gave her a big tour and all of those kind of things. So I wanted to really be able to feed their passions, you know, and focus on those things as well as the you know, the math and the reading and all of that too. But I want it, and I want them with me. I mean, it comes down to being really selfish. I just want my, I don't want to miss any time with them.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. You know, I mean, that's not a, I have a couple of friends who live in a small town and they also get homeschooled. And you know what? They're very normal kids. They're great kids. So yeah. I guess, yeah. So I guess, you know, I'm sure if you felt in any way it was going to hurt your kids doing that, you wouldn't have. But, you know, you decided to go with that and stuff. What I'm curious about is how do they graduate high school?
Well, you know, my what they do is they take a GED. My oldest daughter is 18, and she took it when she was 17 and passed it and got her GED. And then she can go on to any college. She can take her ACT. She can do anything like that. With my other girls, you know, I'm not really big on labeling them into a grade. I'm just like, this is the level we're doing, and we do the work, and then we just move forward. So that's the way that works best for us.
Right.
And with the internet, I mean, there's so many resources out there. And we have a huge college here, Ferris State University, and we utilize their library and the things that they have, the options that they have available. And so it just really, I guess, complements our lifestyle with me traveling and my books and things like that, too. It works out really good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, so you, I mean, you had a pretty tough childhood. Were you an only child?
I wasn't. I have an older sister and a younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so many girls in your family.
I know, huh?
Yeah. Well, my mom had the three girls, and then my dad remarried and had two more girls. And so there's a lot of girls, I guess you could say. And then we have the five girls, and my husband has seven brothers and sisters. So there's just a big variety there of girls and boys all over the place.
Wow.
It's a big family.
Very big and happy family. Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Robin, do you, I mean, you help out people and stuff, but I imagine more than just people in your town. How do you help people out? In what way?
Well, you know, a lot of my work is dealing with like domestic violence shelters or homeless shelters, places where people are kind of down and out. And I like to go in there and say, you know what? I've been there. I mean, when I was like 23, I fell off the wagon again and I started drinking every single night. You know, there's parts of that time that I don't remember because I was such an alcoholic and I was not being a good mother and I was not being a good wife. And, you know, I remember the day when I looked around at my house and I thought, this is not the way my story is going to end. I've got to make some changes. And that's when I started working on it. And it's not like a flip of a switch. I'm not implying that at all. But that was when I really started reevaluating the direction I was headed, you know, and realized I have to take a step out of this lifestyle and make some choices and live in a positive way, or this is the way I'm going, my story's going to end, and I'm going to repeat a cycle of dysfunction that I've already lived as a child, and I don't want to redo that. And so I like to tell people, you know, I've been there, I get it, I understand, and so let me teach you and show you and help you with the things that I use, like real actual things that I use to break me out of those cycles and to get me out of that slump that I was in and to live a fulfilling life. Because so many people stay stuck because they don't know. You know, that's what they've lived. It's easy. And they start and they feel like maybe they're not worth it. Because the biggest thing for me is teaching people a sense of self-worth. Because when I started believing in myself and loving myself, it was like my mind was blown at how much I could possibly do and accomplish and what I was worth.
Right.
And sometimes we don't know that unless somebody comes in and says, hey, I've been there. You know, let me help you up. And that's really what I like to do.
Yeah. Now, how did you turn your life around? I mean, did you have any mentors? Did you have any people that helped you out with that? I imagine it's hard to do by yourself.
Well, I absolutely had somebody that helped me more than anything, and that was my husband, because he's really super smart and amazing, I guess, and he just was really supportive in helping me and encouraging me to believe in myself and love who I was and that I was worthy of being loved. And I also started doing little exercises, which I know this may sound so crazy to some people, but I actually wrote, I love you, on the bathroom mirror on a little piece of paper. And every time I would go to the mirror, I would say it. And at first I had all these reasons why I did not like myself and what was wrong and the things that I did and the choices I made and how I behaved and things like that. But I slowly started replacing that with positive things. Like, well, I opened the door for this person, or I carried groceries for this person, or whatever, you know, just little things. This started teaching me to like myself and that I was a good person, because I'd never had anyone tell me that.
Right.
I never in my life had anyone tell me that I was beautiful or that I was worth anything ever. So it was a really huge thing to learn that within myself, and that changed everything. I mean, honestly, that changed my entire life, every piece of it. And so that, I mean, that was really what got me to where I'm at today.
Yeah. So now, so you had abuse at home. Now, have things changed since then? I mean, I imagine you still part of your... I mean, are your parents in your life right now?
Well, my dad passed away a couple years ago, but my mom actually is still in my life.
Uh-huh.
And she remarried, and she still struggles with her own demons and her own issues.
Right.
But I love her unconditionally. I've really worked a lot on acceptance of my family because my younger sister and my older sister lived the exact same lifestyle we lived as children, you know, like the homelessness, the abusive spouses, the alcoholism, like all, it's like a mirror. I mean, it's literally like a mirror walking into their houses. So for me, I've had to set up some real healthy boundaries and accept them for who they are and love them, but I don't have them daily. You know, they're not like somebody I spend my everyday with or anything like that, but I'm always loving them, but I just don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah. Wow. Pretty cool. We're talking to Robin Marvel. If you guys want to follow, her website is robinmarvel.com. And I see you've written a few books, huh?
Yeah, five, yep.
Five books, wow. So, I mean, you took your education seriously. I mean, you came to, you know, you didn't end up, you know, doing manual work or something, you know, because of no education. You actually got yourself educated, became good at writing, and were able to articulate yourself, you know. So I think that's quite an accomplishment. Obviously.
No, thank you.
Yeah, so you must love yourself now more than ever.
Absolutely. I'm really enjoying life, and I've learned so much, and I'm constantly learning. You know, just when we think we have everything figured out, it shifts and something changes and we have an opportunity for growth. But I've come a long way since that day when I was, you know, found out I was pregnant.
Yeah,
I know. 8 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, so I imagine that would complicate your life quite a bit when you get pregnant at 16.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it a little more challenging.
Yeah, I know. So, but do you think that happened because you felt maybe neglected at home or you needed attention or something, or was it purely just an accident?
No, it was. I was not intending to get pregnant, but the whole party lifestyle and the boys was definitely a lack of self-worth and a lack of attention at home. Definitely that played a big part in it because I was just eager for somebody to want me, and that was a way I found attention,
right.
You know, and that was resulted in getting pregnant.
Wow. Now, so you've written five books. Which one is the latest, Robin?
My latest book is Life Check, Seven Steps to Balance Your Life.
Uh-huh. And okay, so that's pretty self-explanatory, but discuss the book a little bit. I mean, what does it take to balance your life? We don't have to go through all the steps, but maybe just a summary.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, that book provides simple, effective, easy ways to rock the boat and dive into your life versus going through the same routine and just kind of living life, paying the bills, going to bed. You know, I really want to shake people up and say, you know what, you have the opportunity to accomplish anything. You can live the biggest life that you want to live. And here are some simple, easy steps. I mean, the book is not like a huge book. It's very direct, to the point, no fluff, you know. Let's get moving, because I think we can talk about stuff all day long, but if we don't take action, then we're still going to just be sitting on the couch.
That's true.
So, so that's really important in my book.
Very cool. And so people, everybody can check out the book on the website, robinmarvel.com, all our other books as well. Now, if people want some coaching from you, I would imagine they can contact you through the website.
Absolutely, and I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. I'm all over the web.
Okay, cool. And so you can do this remotely with anyone?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
No limits.
Yeah. You're not just confined to the little town in Michigan, right?
That's right.
Yeah, very cool.
I can only imagine the lessons you've taught your daughters from all of the things you've been through.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very open with them. People ask me that all the time, you know, do I hide the person I used to be from them? And I don't, because I want them to understand that the choices we make have consequences. And every speaking opportunity that I have, I bring my older girls. I mean, I have a 4-year-old, so I obviously don't bring her, but my older girls come and they listen and they're a part of it and they help me prepare for it, because I want them to be aware of all of these lessons that I've learned and help encourage their life and right from the beginning.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I think also to bring 5 children to the world is pretty, I mean, you have to be pretty optimistic. You know, you can't feel like a victim and bring 5 kids to the world and expect them to be healthy.
Right, right. And I mean, my oldest daughter, she's 18, and a lot of times I look at her and think, if I only could have been that when I was 18, and I see their self-respect and their strength and the way they deal with people and the way they interpret the world, and it makes me really proud to think that I've had a hand in that.
Yeah.
And I know they'll make their own choices, but the fact that I can instill this strong foundation is the most important thing in the world to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think... you know, I mean, you can sort of compensate for the fact that she was born to a teenager by saying, you know, I mean, I've got a young mother, I've got a lot of attention and good education and stuff. So, yeah, so she didn't have to go through the stuff that you went through.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's cool. You know, I mean, I think it took a lot of courage to pull out of that pit that you were in. And very cool. Yeah. Everybody check out RobinMarvel.com. She's an author, a speaker, a coach. Definitely can help you out. If you helped yourself, I'm sure you can help a lot of people. And that's amazing. So get empowered. Listen. I see there's videos on your website as well, so people can listen to what you have to say. And congratulations on the book. When did the recent one come out?
It came out last September.
Oh, cool. So it's still pretty new. It's fresh.
Yep. And I have a new book that'll be out this summer. It's going to be on parenting, on positive parenting. So that'll be something that's really cool for people to check out, too.
Yeah, that's true. I guess if you're probably going to include a part on homeschooling and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that would help people that want to do that, you know. It used to be like, I think people would consider people that educate their kids at home as like, strange or weird or something, you know, but I think it happens quite often now, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely becoming more common, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, Robin, well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Anytime.
Of course. Everybody, and we'll put a link to your website, too, on our website so people can find you easily. And congratulations on a wonderful family. And, you know, all the best to you in everything that you do.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. You guys have a great summer. Summer's coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Robin.
Bye.
Very interesting woman.
Very.
You know, I like that.
I like hearing about people that, you know, have a crappy situation and they come through it.
I know.
There's so many people that complained about such, like, small things.
Yeah.
And to hear somebody that actually, like, thrived
right.
in a situation that would have been detrimental to others.
Right.
It's like, puts it in perspective.
I know. But you know what amazes me, and this is not the first time I've heard of this, is sometimes, like, girls would start a relationship or something because they get pregnant or that. And it's usually, like, with someone a few years older than they are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like still minors when this stuff happens. And it happens quite a bit. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, but either I read about it or I hear about it. And it's amazing to me. It's usually not going to be a 16-year-old that impregnates a 16-year-old girl, you know. I can't imagine, you know, being like, say, you know, even 20 years old and you're with a 16-year-old. Kind of strange, wouldn't you say?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, I guess from 20 to 16, it's not that big a difference.
No.
but I mean, actually, you know, I mean, look, at 16, you're still a child, and a 20-year-old is an adult.
I mean, it's not that different.
Yeah.
I had probably boyfriends that were 20 when I was 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because also, you go to high school, let's say, and you're a freshman. You know, so if I was a freshman and I was 15 or 16, then the seniors are all 18 at that time.
Right.
Then I'm 16 and they're 19.
Right.
You know, so it's sort of, you know them. They're around. Or they're your friend's older brother or sister. Or, you know, I think it's, it becomes...
Okay, so you're talking like, you know, 3-4 years. Okay, let's say like, you know, 8 years maybe.
That's different.
Okay, all right.
If because you're also in a different part of your life.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I actually meant. I didn't mean like when they're still in their high school state of mind. You know,
right. But well, if somebody goes away to college,
right,
then that's different. They're like away and having a different kind of lifestyle.
Right.
But if you're in the same town and you're only a couple of years apart.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
No.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty courageous to have a baby at that age.
I couldn't. I'm 30 and I still can't.
Yeah.
Can't even feed myself. So, I don't know how people do it.
Well, when they don't have a choice, you have to,
right?
You know?
Exactly. When faced with it, I probably would, you know, thrive. Yeah. I would hope,
yeah,
because I would have to do it. But the thought of it, I just couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, are you at 30? Are you feeling any pressure for kids yet?
No,
no,
none.
Okay, good.
I feel a little bit of pressure to get a dog.
Really?
Yeah, more than anything.
Oh, I thought you had a dog. I saw like a picture of you in bed with a dog or something? No?
Oh, that's my friend's dog.
Oh, it's your friend's dog. Okay. Yeah.
I'm surrounded by animals enough to even not need one because I have, like, enough access to them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, I feel like a sense of responsibility would be, like, getting a dog.
Right.
But then I'm like,
you don't need that.
I don't really want
don't
that.
Don't
right
add
now.
That responsibility, yeah.
I like coming and going as I please.
Yeah.
Like, the thought of having to go home and walk the dog or, like, has the dog been to the park or whatever?
Right, exactly. He'd pick up his shit and all that stuff.
Well, no, I'm okay with that. It's just more like a time restraint. Like, and also, like, planning my life around something else right now doesn't seem... Right now, I'm planning my life around the gym.
Mm.
So I go to the gym at certain times. I can't also then add a dog into that mix. And like, also, I have to date people and, like, have their schedule. And I'm like, I'm just busy.
Yeah. Huh?
So.
Yeah, that's true, though, but... It would be cruel for the dog if you don't have time for that.
Exactly.
You
know? And I'm trying to be like realistic about where I like spend my time and energy.
That's good.
So I don't want to be stretched too thin.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I didn't think you had a dog, but then I saw the picture. I'm like, maybe she does have one.
No, I have a dog nephew. I have a dog. I'm a godmother to a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, I have another dog nephew.
Okay.
This is my family of animals.
All right.
I have two dog brothers.
Yeah. That's true. If you had a dog, you'd probably talk about it a lot.
Totally.
Right?
I'd probably bring it.
People always talk about their dogs.
They do. Like, it's their kid.
I know.
I don't have that.
I know. I mean, dogs can be awesome. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, if I got a dog, I would want to have it be, like, an added bonus in my life, not a stressor.
Right.
And I feel like right now it would just be stressful.
Yeah. Exactly. Wait till you have a family and the kids can have... Devote time to the dogs.
I'd like to share the responsibility with somebody. Like, we make it like our thing. So it's like, we want to go to the park with the dog, or we want to bring the dog to breakfast, or we want to train the dog. Not, this is my full responsibility and I got this dog for selfish reasons or whatever.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I mean, do you have any plans for how many kids you want? Because you do want kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever think about, like, I want two, I want three, I want
five?
Well,
I'm an only child, so I don't know that I would want an only child.
Right.
Not because it's a bad thing, but just because I think it's cool to, like, have
siblings,
a partner in crime,
right,
for stuff and for life, and like family trips, like to have a buddy, and like
that's after they grow older, you know. When they're young, forget about it, man. I mean, there's like, they hate their brothers and sisters.
Well, I would hope that they would like each other, but
yeah,
I mean, I went on a million family trips, just me and my parents, and I feel like I grew up too quickly. Like, I was more of an adult than I was a child.
Yeah, you were around adults all
the
time.
Those were my friends.
Right.
So, like, my aunt, like, there's definitely a difference between how my cousins treat our aunts and uncles and how I do.
Mm.
Like, to me, I call even my parents by their first names. Like, I grew up, those were my friends. So, there wasn't, like, so much respect involved. It was just, like, you're my peers.
Like, friendship.
Right.
Wow.
So, even to this day, my aunts and uncles, I'm like, yo, what's up, homie? And they're like, hi, there's a difference in age here. Can you respect me a little bit? And I'm like, to my parents, Jan and Randy, hi. Tell them what I want and what they need and things, and like, it's just a difference in that. And I don't know that that was bad or wrong, but it was different.
Yeah, that's true.
But now I feel like I'm regressing and I'm like so playful and like run around and like, I'm like, it's recess.
I mean, growing up, did you ever wish you had a brother and
totally.
Sister? Really?
Yeah.
So it does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you are here to say if you have a choice, have more than one child.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's wrong to have one. Like, some people also financially can't have more than one. Some people right. physically can't have more than one. I have a girlfriend who is pregnant right now, and she's like, one and done.
Mm.
She's like, I didn't even know I want kids, but then I got pregnant, and now I'm happy with just having one. Mm. And so I said to her, I'm like, that's fine. Just make sure your kid has a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Because true. That's the one thing I would say is that if you're going to have an only child, make sure they're socialized.
Yeah. That's true.
Because otherwise they grow up as weirdo, like, independent loners. Like, I didn't, yeah. but I can imagine that that would have been an easy way of life for me because I'm used to being on my own.
Right. But, I mean, there have been a lot of famous, successful people that were only children, you know, so...
Like me.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, it's not like... I don't think it's a hindrance or anything
no.
to success in life. But I guess, like you said, you know, it would be nice to have someone my age or close to my
right.
age. Yeah.
I mean, I have all my cousins and we're all the same age. So for me, they're brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And I saw them all the time growing up.
Yeah.
But we didn't go on family trips together. I mean, we did a couple times, but not like every family trip. My parents would just like yank me out of my life and make me go to Europe with them. And I was like, I didn't appreciate it then because I was like, I'm stuck with my parents in Europe. Can't call anybody. Can't do anything. Uh-huh. They don't want to do the things I want to do. So now I'm stuck eating like lobster in Italy. I know, really rough life. But I don't know. I think I would have enjoyed having like a buddy there.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Even when they act like they dislike their siblings when they're young. They grow up loving each other often.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully.
So, yeah, exactly. And I think a big age difference is not a good idea, you know. With my brother, my middle brother, I'm the oldest. My second brother is, or let's say the first brother after me, is about 3 years younger than I, but my youngest brother is like 12 years younger, so we're not that close. But it's also because while he was very young, an infant, that's when I came to America, so we didn't see each other for a few years.
Yeah.
Even though up until the age of two, I sort of like raised him in a way. You know, I mean, I took care of him a lot. I babysat him and everything.
Yeah.
Because I was the oldest.
But
he didn't
like
remember
years,
that.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't remember that. So when he came here, let's say 4 or 5 years later after I was here, he was already like, let's say, 9 years old or something. And he barely even recognized me. So to this day, we're not very close. We try to be, but, you know, it's just not there.
Yeah.
You know, so. But my second, I mean, the middle brother, we were close for all our lives until he met his wife.
Oh.
And then things changed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Didn't happen with me. I mean, I got married before he did, but no.
His I always wonder changed. About that.
And to this day, I mean, I still think about it. I still think about how different he is.
That's sad.
Yeah. But you know what? Life goes on, and that's usually the story anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, what's a parent supposed to feel when their child goes off getting married? And let's say they don't like the son-in-law or the daughter-in-law or something. You know, then it's really bad.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. I used to think, like, too bad if you don't like them. That's my choice. I'm going to date whoever. I'm going to marry whoever. Now I'm like, mm-mm.
Yeah. No, there's got to be some kind of getting along.
You know, I used to write in my Tinder profile, you need to get along with my cousins.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be able to, like run. My cousins always say quotes from movies.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, if you can't hang with them, I don't want you. Because they're such a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And, like, same thing with my, like, uncles and aunts and parents. Like, if you guys don't get along, then it's just not going to work.
Yeah. That's very cool. I mean, I grew up with my cousins also. And now we don't even speak to each other. We hate each other. But, yeah, because they turn out to be big assholes, both of them, both brothers. And, I mean, they were like big brothers to me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have a big brother. I was the oldest. So I learned a lot from them. And in hindsight, I learned a lot of garbage from them, too. So, and then they, well, they came from an abused home, you know, so you can't really blame them. But you know what? When you become an adult, you got to take responsibility for yourself.
Exactly. Just and like Robin haven't. Did. She could claim all kinds of things like, well, I'm only this way because I have how I was raised.
Right. I was a victim, blah, blah, blah. Right. But some people don't rise above that and they stay victims forever. And then they take all their garbage out on other people.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. So I thought I don't want anything to do with them anymore. And we haven't talked, but I kind of miss it, you know, because, I mean, you grew up with your cousins. They're like brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So you're lucky to have your cousins here. Now, did they used to live in Florida before that? Or were you always like long distance?
No. So one of the cousins that lives out here is one of three kids, and he's from Miami. Mm. So then the other cousin that lives out here is an only child, like me, and his dad moved out here when he was like 20, but his dad is from Miami.
Okay.
So my two uncles are brothers, and then my dad is actually their first cousin, but my dad's an only child, so he grew up like their brother.
I see. Okay.
So we're just really close, at least in this part of our family. Then there's like on my mom's side, there's a million cousins, and I'm not close with any of them.
Really? So yeah. So I guess it depends on how you were raised, how you were brought up. Maybe they weren't involved in your life as much.
Right.
I know that in my family, unfortunately, my father, for a while at least, did not like my mother's family. So he sort of distanced himself from them. But I still saw them a lot. I mean, you know, so, but it can happen. I'm not saying that it happened in your family, but sometimes I guess you're just closer to one side than another side.
Yeah. Also, geographically speaking, like, I was raised in Miami and my cousins were in Miami.
Right.
So those cousins. Yeah. And then, I have cousins in like Orlando, Florida that weren't that far away, but we wouldn't see each other that often.
Yeah.
And then my mom's brother is in Boston. So I'm so close with my aunt and uncle in Boston, but we don't see each other that often.
Right. I know.
So it's just hard geographically, you know?
It is. And it's like, you know, out of sight, out of mind type of a thing, you know? And
yeah. If they're not like in your life
daily,
then it's easy to be disconnected.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, even with my parents, you know, when they were here, I saw them every day when they came to visit last month.
Mm-hmm.
And now I talk to them once a week on the phone. But because it's always saying the same things, but I should call more often just to keep in touch. But they've decided to move here.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. Can you believe it? And not only that, but my mom resisted so much. Everybody told her, you should move here again. You know, they were visiting here last month. And they're getting old and frail. And everybody's telling them, come here and be with your kids. And my dad wants to, but my mom is like stubborn as hell, right? No, I'm not moving here. I don't like it here, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay. I said, let's let her go back.
Right.
You know, after we spoiled them to death here.
I had a feeling. I said
that. Yeah. Go back. Then she gets to evaluate and to compare.
Right.
Now she can't wait to come back here.
I'm sure. I knew it. Especially, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what the hell? You know, it's like they're at a point in their lives where they need help.
Right.
So who would you rather get the assistance from? A stranger or your kids?
Right. So are they going, when are they moving here?
As soon as we find them a house. Because I don't want to throw them into a senior home or anything.
Okay, so you're going to get them a house and then just get them like a nurse's aide to come to the house.
Exactly, around the clock.
Exactly.
We'll probably have to get two people because two helpers.
Right. Wow. A daytime and a nighttime.
Yeah. And I feel bad. You know, my dad is like, I know I've asked you a million times, but are you guys sure you want to handle this burden and stuff? I said, it's not a burden. I said, you're our parents.
It's more of a burden to have them away.
Yeah. I said, you're our parents, you know, whatever it takes, that's what you do, you know. And I think I learned that at home. My dad, his father was had Parkinson's, and my dad was taking care of him all the time. So you're raised with that, and that's what you do.
Right.
You know, so there's no other option. And it's easier to tell him just stay there and not have to deal with it. But I don't want to dump him on other people, and I don't want to just dump him, period.
Right, and they're in a completely different country, too. Like,
right.
At least if they're here.
And there's not, you know, I mean, look, they don't have that many years left. Okay, right. My dad's 82 and he's frail. So we got to spend every day. I told him, I said, you know, every day of your last days, because that's all you're going to take with you.
Exactly.
You know, it's your memories with the family.
Yep.
And the love.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. Stay tuned for Answers for the Family, a great show. They've been with us for like, wow, 7 years almost. And they still have a lot of great guests and a lot of things to say. So stay tuned. A lot of great shows on the station. You know, I started listening to almost every show that we have now. And I'm just very proud that you can listen to the station all day and not be bored. And on that note, folks, thank you for joining us. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
The rest of the week, we're going to have studio guests. So
makeup it is.
Makeup for you.
And
makeup
Lauren
for
will
listeners.
Be back on Thursday.
Yes, which we're looking forward
to.
We
are.
Jen's best friend. So be with us all week. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.